sit down. Thank you. Be seated. All right. We're just so thankful to be in the Lord's house today. What a good week I had. I know it was cold. It was cold in Kentucky, but I was privileged this week to be able to go down to see the Ark Museum, the Creation Museum, and also the Underground Railroad Museum in Cincinnati, Ohio. Also to be able to be a part of a conference to discuss the theology and the spiritual symbolism that all of those things have for our relationship with Christ, and just thankful for a safe trip, which I was sharing with the deacons this morning. Had a couple of different things that it did. Number one, it proved to me that I can still do what I used to be able to do, which is drive in one day, 7 hours at once. So I'm thankful for that. That was the first big trip that I've taken by myself since my stroke last year. And so a lot of prayer went into that. I know Greta had some concerns about it. And so anyway, we're just thankful that God put his hand on me and took me there and brought me back safely, particularly on Friday when it was so icy. And I sort of followed the storm as it went back, as it came from Kentucky and came up this way. So it was, they cleared the roads and things seemed to be doing well. Until I got home and there's all this ice. I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of ice around, so just be careful. The Ark, I don't know how many of you have been there. I know a couple of you have because you've told me about it. But the Ark is just a beautiful, beautiful symbol of the promise of Christ, of God and Christ, the first Adam and the last Adam. I'm just so thankful to have had the opportunity to be there. The Ark is at least 0.2 miles long. So if you can think about how big that building is, it is a huge building. It's the largest timber structure in the world, and as it stands there today. And to see the architecture and the artistic liberty that they took with some things, obviously the dimensions are very clear in Scripture, so that's how long it is. And you know, a cubit essentially is the length of our arm plus maybe just a little bit. So if you add all that together and think about it, that's long, right? That's a pretty big facility. Most of us, the picture of the Ark, or at least the picture of the Ark that I had, was that little bathtub toy, right? You remember the little floating Ark that the giraffe's head was sticking up out of it and had an elephant or something. And, you know, there just wasn't any room for that giraffe to be in there, right? How did they fit all of these kinds and all these animals into this Ark, and how did all that work? And so there was a little bit more of a deep dive into the Scripture of that story, Genesis chapter 1, and as it went through Genesis chapter 5. I remember Ken Ham coming when I was in high school, and he was talking to us about, did dinosaurs actually roam the earth with Noah? And is it possible that that occurred? You know, the theory of creation versus the theory of evolution, and to see the proof in the Bible of the idea that dinosaurs roamed at the time that Noah was alive, what we consider to be dinosaurs anyway, roamed the earth at the time that Noah was there, was just amazing. It was refreshing. You know, as a pastor, you know, we give a lot. There's a lot of energy that goes into supporting and strengthening folks in the community and folks in our church family, but it was good to spend 3 days just absorbing everything that I could, to be reminded of the fire that was put in my life when I was a teenager, to just serve God and to see Him, and to see Him in everything around us, the creation that we see, every sunrise and every sunset, every star, just so beautiful. So it was a great opportunity. We also went to the Underground Railroad Museum, which is a facility that's the only Underground Railroad Museum in our country, actually, that exists just solely for talking about the impact of the resistance of slavery, including, you know, sex trafficking, and not only just the because of race, but also because of sex or nationality and other things. So it was good to spend some time also just reflecting on the fallenness of the world and the fact that we still struggle with the same sins that Adam and Eve were faced with after the fall from the Garden of Eden. but also more importantly, getting into our theme for the message today, God's faithfulness. Because just as God was faithful to Adam and Eve at the fall of creation and gave them essentially another door, another way for them to go through the ability to seek the sacrifice of the lambs and the temporary atonement that sacrificing of animals gave to them to be able to atone for the sins that had been committed. And then ultimately the door that we see in Jesus Christ that he even prepared during the time of creation. He knew that this was a possibility. This was something that probably would need to be put in place, that a part of him would have to be sacrificed so that you and I could have the opportunity to walk through that door and be saved and to be with God the Father in eternity. He's faithful to us. He made a promise to us, and he made a promise to Adam and Eve. He made a promise to Abraham. He made a promise in the Bible that he intends to keep. And so we're just thankful for that. And so this week, as I prepared the sermon, I thought about all the prayers that I've prayed. I thought about all the prayers that you have prayed. Some of them I know about, others I don't. But prayer sometimes can be pretty frustrating, can't it? Things don't always happen exactly in the timing that we want. And sometimes we don't get the end result that maybe you and I would like to have. We have a struggle, a constant struggle. How could God destroy the earth by flood? How could he cast out Adam and Eve from this creation that he had made? How can a loving God make those types of decisions to allow pain and suffering to exist in the world that we live in today? Why doesn't he just come back and take it all away? Why doesn't he just restore us back to where we need to be? He has that power. Why doesn't he do that? And so as we study the Word, and that's a very difficult question. It's not something that there is an easy answer to. But we see here Jesus answering the questions about prayer in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. This is what Jesus said. He said, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And so this is where he's essentially telling Philip, you know, in verse 9 he says, "Jesus answered, 'Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?" But he goes on, he's answering him, he's telling him, look, if you pray, if you ask God for something, if you ask me for something, I will give it to you, that I will hear your prayer. And so we just went through our part of a service that we do every Sunday, and we give our self-centered, our desires, what it is that we want. And some of those things are not a bad thing, right? They're a normal human reaction. Nobody wants to see sickness. Nobody wants to see suffering. Nobody wants to see all of the despised things of the world happening in our community, the war that we're seeing. Nobody wants to see these things. These are part of the fallenness of the world that we live in. And so we pray, and we pray multiple times a day. Sometimes we are at the bedside. Sometimes we're in the home. Sometimes we are at the very side of the individual as they face the crisis, and we are praying. And so we are frustrated when things don't happen as quickly or in the exact way that we might hope that they would. But that is something that causes something bigger to happen. What was the first sin? As we look back at Adam and Eve, and again, this is something from my trip that I had to think about this week, but what is the very first sin that happened? Anybody have any ideas? What is the one thing that happened that was the root of the sin in the world? Yep. But why? Why? Disobeying. Why did she take the fruit? God had told them that every need that they had would be met. everything that they needed, he would provide. He told them that they had everything that they needed. But something happened. Satan whispered into their ear. Satan was telling them about things that made them wonder, that made them do something that each of us do every day. This is sin, okay? Doubt. The very first sin was doubt. It caused them to question the Word of God. And so these same things, this same sin that they committed in this garden, the doubting of the Word of God, is something that we face every day. And one of those circumstances that cause us to sin is when prayer is not answered as quickly or in the way that we want it to be. You see what I'm saying? This doubt that enters into our life, it causes our faith to be questioned from time to time. One of the most dangerous times in a Christian's life, it makes sense if you know when you think about it, but is when they're being challenged. You're either going to be able to defend your faith, or you're going to fall like a deck of cards and have to be picked back up again. The goal of the church, the goal of Liberty Baptist Church is to do what? To equip you, to disciple you, to have you strong enough that when the wind comes, that you are rooted, that you can stand and face the adversities of life until Christ returns. That's our purpose. And that's what God, that's what Jesus is telling Philip. If you believe in the Father, as you say that you do, and you believe that I am the Father's Son, then how can you not believe that when you ask me for something, that my will is going to be done, that God is going to listen and to grant the prayer that we give? Now, sometimes I've done silly things. I've asked and prayed for a lot of money to come into my hands, okay? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have done that? How many of you have prayed that, you know, I would marry the most beautiful woman in the world, which I did. Right? Or the most handsome man in the world. How many of you prayed that, you know, I would get this wonderful sports car that I could drive? I mean, material things. You understand where I'm going? This is, you know, we pray prayers, but those are selfish prayers, aren't they? How about I pray that God grant me all that I need in order to serve Him? And to feel secure in my faith. To have the strength to weather the storms as they face and as they battle me. That's a selfish prayer too, but it's rooted in what? My faith in God. And so when you pray, God says He will grant our prayers. But again, all of it has to fit into His will for our life. Real prayer. What is it about? And so we see here these three things that prayer is about. What is it that we're supposed to understand about prayer? The first is that it's God's promise. In verses 13 and 14, we see a bold claim. What does it say again? It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's the first thing, okay? I will do whatever you ask in my name, but there's a second part, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Okay? So anything that's going to glorify God, He will grant. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Again, these things have to glorify the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. He will work one way, and that's His way. And so there are three possibilities in prayer. What are those three possibilities that God gives us in prayer? He'll do it, right? He'll deny it, or He'll make you wait. Those are the three options. Two of them we don't like very much. There'll be a lot of people in here telling testimonies about the first ones, the ones that He grants, but not very many people talk about having to hear God say, maybe not right yet. It doesn't fit yet. It's not right at this time. Or the ones where we're denied, sometimes we don't even want to share those. God's command His promise is that he will do it, but he commands us that we mention the crucial words, in my name. In my name. This is to take the selfishness out. Jesus, grant me all that I need to serve you. Again, we've used his name, haven't we, in that prayer. Jesus, heal me if it be your will. You see again how we're tying in and using this prayer to talk about our faith and bolster our faith as opposed to giving an option to reduce it. And they explain what God rightly demands. And the result is going to be that he will do whatever we ask. He will do whatever is needed in order to serve his purposes. You know, that self-centeredness is where our prayers usually go off track. We are in our fallen state since the garden, we are a very self-centered being. We no longer, you know, and I think about this, and something is, and again, I say it's trivial, but it probably is, it isn't trivial, but recycling. Let's just think about that. You know, I remember as a boy, we would burn everything out there in our burn barrel. And then if we didn't burn it, we'd bury it or do something. Or, you know, we didn't use a garbage service when I was growing up. And then they passed a law that said you can't burn anymore. So now we had to get a garbage service. So then we started doing that. Then they come out, they have a different colored barrel that you had to put cans in and glass in and this and that and the other thing. And it was a burden. That's how it was looked at. It was a burden. But in reality, creation was given to us by God. And we have to take care of it. We have to take care of it. We have an obligation to honor what God has given to us. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, we have to, you know, there's a balancing act, there's all those things. God did say that we are to be the stewards of his creation, that we're to be the masters of the animals and beings upon it. So, I mean, there is a balancing act. And again, I'm not trying to get into politics, but the reality is that it's very clear we have a responsibility to the earth. We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to God. And so we can't use that self-centeredness when we're praying and be in God's in the love of God. Always remember what we've discovered in reading the scripture, and that is this great question of prayer is not, does prayer work? But the question really is, do I really want God's will for my life? Or am I praying for something for me? Am I praying for God's will in my life? You know, the faithfulness that we're talking about is not an easy thing. Again, our state, the way we are, the way we are created, is a desire to sort of accumulate, to have the strength of ourselves against the other. We see that in nationalism. We're seeing it right now in Ukraine and Russia. We're seeing it in Russia and all of the Eastern Europe area, Poland, Belarus, of all of those nations. They're all in jeopardy. Germany, England, and France, all of them again. The United States, we see the division within our country, don't we? In our own community, we can look and see. And so each of us are praying to God, the same God, for different results. It's sort of like that football game, right? Whoever the Mountaineers play, there's another set of Christians on the other side praying that their team will win, and I'm praying the Mountaineers will win. And how trivial is that in reality to God's plan that all people become disciples of Christ, that all people will follow him, that they will see the light, that they will take the door, and that they will enter into eternity with him. We need to experience God's faithfulness as he promised us, that he would hear us and that he would grant our desires as they fit into him and into his plan for our life. Experiencing God's faithfulness. as we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, Cleanse Me. If you know what this faithfulness is like, if you are living a life that is pleasing to Him, maybe you need to refresh, maybe you need to renew, then come and pray, and He will be faithful. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today might be that day. Maybe you want to know what this faithfulness is all about. How is it that in the midst of adversity, in the midst of war, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of hatred and all of the things that we see in our lives, how is it that we can still gather here on a Sunday morning to praise the name of Jesus Christ, to thank God for the blessings that He's given to us, the fact that you and I are able to gather here as we praise Him for that. As we sing Cleanse Me, hymn number 657, let's stand together.